15 min.
Klausyk.
Listen. Baudos prieš bonusą ir po bonuso. Prieš bonusą ir po bonuso. Bonuso.
Pasikartosiu.
Bonuso.
So hello everybody, this is Lithuanian podcast Urbanusas, and it's a big honor for me to present my first English speaking guest. And I would say he's a half Lithuanian, he's a half soldier, but first and foremost, he's a really good guy. And it's a big honor for me to present the third year Žalgiris Kaunas playmaker, Tomas Volkov. Hello, Tom.
Hey there, it's an honor to be on here. I'm super pumped and English sounds great. And thanks for having me on and doing this in English.
Man, but it took so much time for us to finally to schedule this interview. And the last time, you know, it was, you know, there were problems with the plane landing on time. Then you had some personal issues. You had probably like a food poisoning before the Barcelona game. And I was thinking, what were the worst conditions you actually entered the court, you know, playing through some problems you had? Because, for example, when I heard that, you know, when I heard the reason why you missed the practice in Barcelona, I was like, man, he's going to play through it. I mean, he's a warrior and it doesn't mean anything to him. But can you recall that situation? And do you remember the worst times you entered the court?
Yeah. So, you know, for the Barca game, I knew that if it wasn't a COVID problem, then, you know, I would be playing no matter what. All right, even if it was limited minutes or if I couldn't be what I usually was. But I knew no matter what, I'd be playing. The problem is, you know, if I have COVID, then, you know, I'm not just messing up that game. I'm messing up, you know, weeks to come, you know. So that was kind of the limbo that we were in. But, you know, with no fever and just some stomach issues, you know, it was, we didn't think it was COVID. And luckily when we got back, all the tests were negative, but, you know, I was holding my breath a little bit. I'm not going to lie.
But what was your worst experience? I mean, what was your flu game you remember?
You know, I've really been pretty lucky, knock on wood, of, you know, being sick. I've always had a pretty healthy immune system. The only time that I can remember playing through something was freshman year of high school. I was about 15, 16 years old. I tore my ACL, and that was, I don't know, in the first quarter, like 2 minutes into the game. I came out, you know, trainer, I don't think, you know, something's not right with my knee. She, you know, tested it out. She said, you know, it feels okay. So I went back to the bench, and I was like, still doesn't feel right, but trainer told me let's go back in. So told the coach I'm ready to go. I went back in and I played another minute or two, and I actually hit a three. Okay. And I told my coach, I really think, you know, something's wrong. My leg feels like a noodle. You know, there was no stability. Every like step I took, just, you know, it felt like there was, you know, I was just running on, you know, like a noodle. And I called for a sub and I said, something's up. So I guess that's the only thing that I've, you know, played through that I can remember, but that's not anything too crazy, I guess.
Well, but you see, if you manage to play this kind of through this kind of injury, so that once again, food poisoning is nothing for Tom.
Yeah.
and I have some few Lithuanian questions for the warm-up, and despite the fact that you don't speak Lithuanian yet, and I don't know what Nigel Hayes thinks about this situation, but you have many qualities which help you, you know, to fit in Žalgiris' locker room. And some players, and of course, coach Martin Schiller publicly called you half Lithuanian a few times, and it was for a reason. And I was thinking, what do you think, what is the most Lithuanian habit you kind of acquired through in 3 years in Kaunas?
The most Lithuanian habit. I guess I didn't drink too much beer when I got here, and now everybody I drink a little more. I don't know. I think just hanging around with the guys, you know, like my first year that I got here, it was like I came to the gym, you know, kind of did my work, practice, whatever. And then I, you know, showered and went home. And now, you know, I get to the gym early, hanging out with the guys, you know, preparing the body for practice, everything. Then after practice, it's not like anybody's in a rush to leave, you know, everybody sticks around, takes care of their bodies. And, but it's also that part of just hanging out, being around the guy, being around the guys. And I think that's what creates that family atmosphere, you know, that we have at Jargitis. And I'd say that's what's, you know, helped me fit in so much.
Okay. And talking about family atmosphere, I heard some stuff, you know, from that family. And according to my sources, in Jargitis, Thomas Walkup is also known as a kind of Kona's Brad Pitt. Where where does this nickname come from? I don't know the origin of it.
I think it probably started out as a joke because Brad Pitt is a very handsome guy and I'm not. So that's probably, you know, whoever first started that, I think I have an idea who it was, who the secret source was. You know, they were making fun of me for sure. They weren't saying that as a compliment.
And what do you think, who is that source? I mean, who was the guy who started, you know, calling you Brad Pitt?
The first person I can remember is my agent, but ever since then, he has signed another player on the team, and his name is, you know, going off in my head right now. So I will have to have some words with him when I get to practice today.
Okay. And talking about Lithuanian things, I was thinking, you know, not many Žalgiris players played three full seasons without breaks in Kaunas. There were only a few of them. One of them was Tamaka Bird, a famous Žalgiris player, beloved here in Kaunas.
I've heard plenty about him.
Okay. And I was actually thinking, you know, I tried to combine this idea. For example, European passport helps, you know, to broaden career opportunities for American players here in Europe. For example, in Spain, you have some foreign rules and stuff. And when you have, you know, that kind of double passport, you can play, you know, without these American limits, at least in Spain or Italy, for example. And I was thinking, just for fun, did you ever kind of, you know, considered asking Lithuanian passport, or at least considered, you know, to think about if there is any way to get a passport here in Lithuania?
I mean, the only way that that would be, it would be through, you know, marriage. And, you know, you know, Lithuanian girls are super beautiful, but, you know, that, wasn't why the reason I came here. Okay. But, you know, it's funny because, would I love a Lithuanian passport? Yes, of course. But, that would kind of go against everything that I admire about Lithuanian people, which is like how much pride they have, especially in their basketball. You know, even if I got a Lithuanian passport, I would never be able to play for the Lithuanian national team because, you know, I'm not a true Lithuanian. And for that to be kind of the reason I can't, I really, really admire, you know, I think that's very, very cool.
But why you say you wouldn't play? I mean, you think guys wouldn't accept you or something?
No, it's not the guys, but to be honest, like I said, it's just a very prideful country. You know, I think that it would just kind of, I would very much feel like an outsider on the team, you know, and I think that the fans would probably view that, you know, as well. And it's not something that I, you know, wouldn't want to do, but I just think that it would be kind of they would feel very foreign, and that kind of goes against everything that Lithuania is. You know, they're very, you know, home kept country, very prideful. And I think that I would just kind of go against that, if that makes sense.
I don't know, man. I think that Paulius Jankūnas and Milas, if he would be on the squad, they would help you, you know, to adjust. And they would explain everything for the fans. So you shouldn't be worried about that. But talking about your adjustment here in Kaunas. I don't know why I'm saying Kaunas name in kind of English way. But yeah, talking about your adjustment here in Lithuania, and especially the EuroLeague, I want to start from again, kind of funny question, because I asked a few guys and they said that you never panic on a basketball court. At least the only time, my source said that the only time he saw you panic, or the only time you panic, actually, if you guys have a practice the same time Supreme drops on Thursday. Can you introduce us?
Yeah, I also know who the source is.
Okay.
I'm starting to figure out your sources.
But can you introduce us who doesn't have a clue what this is all about? Because I also don't have any idea what is the Supreme, what's so special about Supreme dropping on Thursday? What's all about?
Okay, so, you know, they call them hypebeast. They're just people that care about brands and whatnot. And I'm not that type of guy. but when a drop like that happens, when they have a release of stuff or clothes or whatever it might be, stuff will sell out really quickly. And it's not so much about getting a product or clothing, something, but the process of it and seeing that you got, you were able to put something in your cart and buy it when it sold out in 30 seconds is, you know, there's, it's a hobby, you know, I think it's pretty fun. And I think it was something that I was a little more into, you know, in the past, but still when Supreme or Kith or a fun brand like that drops something, it can be a little fun. And I don't know, it's a little silly, but it's a good time. It's all in good fun.
Yeah, but to follow up the panic topic, topic in a more serious way, I want to bring you back to your beginnings in Kaunas. And for example, in your first 12 EuroLeague games, you averaged less than 4 points, and it was something around 5 player index rating per game. And I remember it was, you know, that adjustment in Kaunas took a while for you. And I was thinking, what were you thinking inside, you know, about your personal situation in your first months wearing Žalgiris jersey?
Oh, man, very difficult. I can remember signing and thinking like, man, I did it. Like, I got to EuroLeague. I still can't believe this. But at the same time, not really knowing what I was getting myself into. And then, you know, I got here and the place wasn't the adjustment, you know, like, I loved Lithuania, I love Kaunas right from the beginning, but it was the adjustment of basketball that I was not ready for. And it just had me on my heels. And just in general, I wasn't playing well. I wasn't shooting the ball well. I was making bad decisions. Just the style of play, you know, I was doing everything backwards. And I remember I was getting set for that Darusha Faki game. I think it was in the third quarter. And, you know, the coach had kind of cut me out of the rotation up until that point. I hadn't played. And I was thinking, like, am I starting to get phased out here? You know, and I didn't have anybody to blame but myself because I knew that I was playing bad. That was kind of the worst part. It wasn't like I was playing great and coach wasn't playing me. I was deserving of, you know, every single second I was sitting on the bench. And there was a second that I was thinking, am I going to get cut? Are they trying to, you know, get me out of here because of how I'm playing? And luckily, I think Marius got into foul trouble with that Darusha Faki game. I went in there, I gave just a little bit of a spark to the team and we went on a little run. And from then on out, I kind of got my feet up under me. It's not like I started to play amazing, but I started to give something to the team. And from there, the confidence just kept building and building. And step by step, I was able to you know, become a more important part of the team and a part that, like I said, gave something to the team. Because in the beginning, I really felt like I was the weak link.
Mm-hmm. And how did you actually try to fit in the Žalgiris game and to find, you know, your role to make the impact finally?
Well, I knew that Šadas wanted me as a defender. And so every single game, I tried to make it hard on their best guard, you know, whether that was taking their point guard out of the offense or you know, making it hard for the best scorer to get a shot up or, you know, contesting every single thing. So early on, it was definitely the defense. And then kind of as it got my feet up under me, Nate Walters, I think, rolled his ankle, had a groin problem, and I started playing a little more point. So the defensive role never changed. I knew that that was my role. But then I started taking on a little more offensively. And you know, under Šaras, I was listening to how he was coaching the point guards all year. And so it was a little bit of an easy transition to step into that role and know what he wanted. So taking on a little more of the point guard responsibilities that first year, you know, really, really helped me out, I think.
Yeah, that point guard transition was actually very interesting. And I talked with some guys and they told that as a playmaker and as a point guard, you also kind of, you know, you Tom is a true definition of a lead by example. And it talks a lot about what kind of person, what kind of playmaker you are on the court. And I was thinking, actually, what was your example of leadership throughout the years when you were growing and going to this level? What floor generals on the court you liked the most watching, I don't know, NBA or EuroLeague basketball?
Oh, man. For me, it was Steve Nash. You can tell he says everything. He dictates everything. Every loose ball or every dead ball, he is getting the guys together. He's telling them what they're going to be in. He's so vocal. I think the coolest thing about him is his high fives. You know, every single time, you know, it's like this camaraderie thing that he has with the team of constantly bringing them together. And I think he's probably the best floor general, you know, true point guard there, you know, there is or was. And I always admired and loved watching him play.
And as we talked, the defense was always there in your game. And I was thinking, you know, you always, you know, stayed impactful, let's say that, throughout your defense. And throughout the years, you know, your teammates in Žalgiris told that Thomas is kind of, you know, irreplaceable in defense. And it actually helped Žalgiris to win some games. For example, that last game against Olympiakos was a kind of true example of what can you achieve through one defensive possession. And I was thinking, what was your biggest defensive challenge you had so far? And maybe what conditions were the toughest one you had around, you know, to be successful with this task?
That's a great question. And it's funny, back to the Olympiakos game, you know, it's not so often that defense, you know, is rewarded. And, you know, for in that case, for the defensive play to kind of be the standout play, I thought was really, really cool. It's one for all the defensive guys out there. But I think the toughest guards are, you know, the unpredictable ones. You know, the ones that can kind of do a little bit of everything. You never know when they're going to pull up and shoot. You never know when they're going to, you know, just blow right by you. But then they can also make the right play. They can pass, that, you know, they can play in pick and roll. They can play on the post. You know, those bigger, quicker guys, you know, I think are the really tough guards. You know, Mike James is a really tough guard. He's obviously not big, but he has that, you know, he can do a little bit of everything and you never know what you're going to get with him, you know? So I'd say that's probably the toughest guard.
Yeah. I was thinking, did you actually try to figure out how to stop Mike James' step back?
You can test it. You know, obviously I'm a little bit bigger than him. He gets a great leap on his jump shot. So that makes it a little bit more difficult, but you know, I think my length helps me at least contest it. And, you know, with a step back jumper, that's what you have to do. You know, you're not gonna be too close to where he can go around you. But if he's shooting those all game, you know, if he's making them, you know, you shake his hand, say good shot.
Your stamina is actually one of the things which helps you, you know, to be so productive on the defensive end. And I talked with some guys again, and they said that probably they saw you asking for the substitution maybe for two times in like 2 years, 2.5 years. And again, it goes all to your physical shape, your body. And can you share what are the main rules you try to follow or you still try to follow regarding to your, I know, diets, you know, working out in gym and, you know, just regular routines, which helps you to be the guy you are?
Yeah, I mean, I think the most important thing that I do is sleep. You know, I try to be very disciplined with my sleep. At least 8 hours a night, I think, is that kind of starts your day out correctly. And then eating, you know, I'm not vegan like one of your sources are, you know, I feel like I eat a pretty healthy diet, a balanced diet. Of course, as a kid, I didn't like eating vegetables, but, you know, it comes with being a professional athlete. You got to eat your greens and eat a balanced, you know, clean diet. Try to eat a clean diet. And yeah, of course, I slip up sometimes here and there, but who doesn't love some sweets? Yeah, working out. I think it was obvious when I first got to Žalgiris. I lifted a lot more weights. My teammates tell me all the time, you know, this isn't the same Tom as the first year. Now, you know, I'm a little bit quicker on my feet, and I think that's really helped on the defensive end and, you know, guarding those little point guards like I said earlier.
So this is actually the adjustment you wanted to do with your body? I mean, to be quicker and maybe, you know, to...
Yeah, I definitely knew I didn't want to be as big, as top heavy, you know, and I think finding that balance is just part of being a professional athlete, you know, figuring out your body. And, you know, university in the States, you know, it's very much put on as much weight and as much muscle, be as explosive as you can be. And, you know, I was another 7, 8, you know, 9 kilos heavier in the States off of just straight muscle, you know, very low body fat. Just a strong dude, more like an American football player. And then each year overseas, I think I've dropped a little bit more, gotten a little bit skinnier. I still feel like I'm a strong physical player, especially for my position, but, you know, not as heavy.
Yeah, that's actually an interesting topic because, for example, Geoffrey Laverne did the same. He dropped around, I don't know, 8 or 10 kilos when he came to Kaunas from Istanbul, and we definitely see that it helped him a lot. Yeah, and I was actually thinking, what was the turning point of your life when you understood that you have to take care of your body? Because I don't know, maybe it's in Lithuania that many young players just, you know, take it for granted and they don't put enough effort in building your body, you know, in kind of, you know, getting ready you for the on the court challenges.
Yeah, a couple of things. I mean, Charis was huge on taking care of your body. And, you know, all the time it was, you know, especially if you were struggling, it was, you know, are you eating right? Are you sleeping right? Are you training right? Lifting right? Everything. And, especially that first year, I really had to, you know, first year here, I really had to fine tune some things up. But then also with age, you know, when you're 20 years old, you can do whatever the day before, you can eat whatever before the game, and you go out there and you play and you feel normal. But you get like 24, 25, you're thinking, I'm not recovering quite as fast. Then, you know, 27, 28, you're like, man, I feel a little bit slow today. And so you really have to take care of your body to keep it at tip top shape to continue performing at the top level. And if you don't, you're going to get passed up.
Yeah. And we started with your slow adjustment in Kaunas, but we have many examples of big-time Žalgiris players who also struggled in the beginning. For example, Marius Grigonis also had a tough time. Brandon Davis is one of the nice examples we had. And I was thinking, when you went through it and when you have, you know, when you're joining the success story right now, do you need to share all these personal experiences, for example, with the EuroLeague rookies like Nigel Hayes, who was coming from the NBA environment, and then, for example, Steve Wasturia, who was actually coming from kind of, you know, the situation you were coming out of, like from Germany, from coming from, you know, lower divisions. Did you need to share all these personal experiences with them, you know, to help them and not to panic in kind of way?
Absolutely. You know, Marius and I that first year were the double team of, you know, train wrecks. You know, both of us were pretty bad. I think we were shooting under 20% from three at one point. It was bad, but, you know, we figured it out. And I think that process allowed me to help these other guys that come in, especially last year, you know, I was one of the older guys on the team and only my second year here. And with most of the older guys being away with national team at the beginning of preseason last year, I really was able to step, was really able to feel comfortable stepping into a leadership role. And I wouldn't say take, you know, the other American guys under my wing, but I was able to explain to them, this is what you should expect. This is what I went through. This is how I struggled. You know, I think that that sure helps some guys, at least, you know, tipped them off as to what they should be ready for. And I think it helped, you know, some of them make a little bit of an adjustment. And, you know, if they can just be a step better, then, you know, I'm, you know, really happy to help them make that adjustment. So, I'm glad that I went through it so that I could, you know, help guys in return.
You're the part of two very different eras in Kaunas. One was with Šarūnas Jasikevičius, and the other one, the current one, is with Martin Schiller. And I remember on Žalgiris podcast, you told that you were kind of, you know, watching, for example, Maccabi Real Madrid game, and you were watching it like it was, you know, everything should be based on Žalgiris system and Žalgiris rule, and how tough it is for you personally to, you know, to read the game when the game is completely different. And I was thinking what it was like when you had to play under the new coach with the completely different kind of game style, and what kind of adjustment period it was for you.
I think one of the best things about playing for Šarūnas was how much I learned from him, you know. And that doesn't matter. That's, and that goes so much farther than just his system. You know, a lot of people think he gives you the system, you plug you in, and then that's it. But I learned so much about how to play the game, how to read the game. And so no matter what coach came in next, you know, it would have been an adjustment to his new system. But at the same time, I also would have had the knowledge from Šarūnas. And I think that definitely made it you know, a lot easier adjusting to a new coach was that I had a couple years of, you know, EuroLeague under my belt. I knew the guys on the team, and then I had the, you know, the knowledge of you know, Coach Šarūnas and all the things that I've been taught over the last 2 years, and especially as a point guard, you just have to soak up all the knowledge that, you know, that he has. And that's what I tried to do. And then Coach Schiller came in and provided a, you know, an even different outlook to the game. And so now I'm learning from Coach Schiller and the different ways that he sees the game. So I know it's weird to say, but I'm, you know, lucky to have played for three different coaches in Europe now, and all have a little bit different philosophies, different ways of viewing the game. And I think it would be very foolish and immature of me to not take something from each one of them. So you know, to answer your question, it was not a difficult transition under Coach Schiller, and you know, I'm happy that you know, I've seen the game from two different angles.
And what do you remember the most from your early conversations with Martin Schiller when he joined Žalgiris, and what was the process of yours, you know, to finding the new, I wouldn't say the new role, but finding the place in the team? Because, okay, it's a very good sign for a player to be so mobile to play a few positions. And if I remember well, in the beginning in Žalgiris, you played as a probably kind of shooting guard, maybe even some small forward minutes. Then you became a point guard, more or less. And it's a bit interesting situation when the new head coach comes, and sometimes you have no idea in which position he can see you on the floor. So what were your early, you know, connection with Martin, and what kind of role you'll have to take on the court?
I mean, he saw me as a point guard early on. I think that's the only thing that, you know, I've ever played here. And, but with that being said, if you would have said, "Hey, I see you as a two," I would have said, "All right, I'll be a two," you know, done whatever, you know, he saw me as. But I'm glad that, you know, he saw me as a one. I feel super comfortable as a one, and I'm glad we're on the same page about that. But my first impressions of him was he was very understanding. You know, right from the get-go, it was weird with him taking over during a COVID time. And I can remember him calling and said, "Hey, you know, I hate to tell you this, but you're going to have to, you know, come back pretty early and you're going to have to quarantine for 2 weeks and blah, blah, blah. So, hey, you know, there's no need for apologies or sorries or everything. You know, you're the head guy. You know, we're here to, you know, listen to you and do what you say. So, yeah, I appreciate that from super early on, you know, how understanding he is.
And despite the big coaching change, you Žalgiris kind of remained in the same position. You were fighting for the playoff spots again, and you're a dangerous team and, you know, challenging every big opponent. And I was thinking, what was the key in this journey which helped you to be among the top teams in the EuroLeague again after, like, how many? It's like 8 months from the start of the new era. What are your main thoughts which, you know, helped you to stay on the same track?
Of course, you know, whenever Shara said he was leaving, it was like, oh man, what, you know, what is going to be next? And I think that's only natural. But then when I did meet Coach Schiller and I, you know, did talk to him, we started implementing the system, and really 1 through 12 people bought in. My thoughts were, you know, we can do this. You know, it's every night's going to be a fight, you know, like every EuroLeague game is. But, you know, if we execute our game plan, we execute this system, we're going to put ourselves in a good situation. And I think it was super, super important that we got off to a good start, how we did, you know, I think of 5-0 this year. And that really helped everybody, you know, say, hey, if we do this thing the correct way, you know, it works. So I think that not just for us, but for the fans, for the media, everybody, you know, I'm sure Coach Schiller had a ton of question marks coming in. And that's only fair. A foreigner, you know, hadn't been in Europe, but obviously he's done an incredible job. And I'm really, really happy that, you know, he's our ball coach.
Was there any moment like you were sure that, or at least you kind of figured out that this project, the new head coach and the new system will work in Žalgiris?
I think the first game was the Efes game. You know, it wasn't just that we beat Efes. It was that we really executed his game plan. We really executed his defensive, you know, strategies and philosophies. And, you know, we didn't do anything crazy for that game, any crazy game planning. It was just his defensive system that we did. And, you know, that really was the first one. It's like, hey, man, this is a really, really good offensive team. And we, I don't know what the final score was, but we did a really good job on defense. And we executed everything that we wanted to do and ended up winning the game by 20. And it was a very telltale sign of if we do this on a nightly basis, we'll be good.
What is also very fascinating that you survived 6-game losing streak, and it seems like the Žalgiris are kind of experts of, you know, surviving these kind of situations, because year before you were on a 9-game losing streak, and I was thinking, what did you, what these losing streaks taught you, what did you learn from these situations, how to survive it? And at the same time, I would add the follow-up question. In what situation, you know, where is the line when you can keep suffering, knowing that tomorrow will be brighter, but how it feels then there's no other choice when kind of some when some changes like in head coaching on the roster.
You know, as far as the losing streak question, I think after the 9-game losing streak we had last year. that was a really deep and dark times, but I think when the season ended last year, we were in like 9th or 10th place, you know, and we were playing great ball. I have no doubts in my mind that we would have made the playoffs last year. So that on top of, you know, we had started 5-0 this year, it's like 6 games is, you know, we're fine, you know. We had, and it's not like we were playing bad ball during that time. We had a couple of bad breaks. I think we, you know, put up goose eggs in one or two of the games, but for the most part, it's not like we were playing bad basketball. And, you know, that's how EuroLeague is sometimes. Every game is close, and sometimes you get the break, sometimes you don't. And during that stretch, we didn't. But I think having a core group of veterans, you know, that we have here that have been here for a while, that have been kind of through, you know, the dark ages, like of, you know, last year and the year before, where we did get off to a really bad start and then we're able to turn it around, you know, I think was so, so important. And nobody lost hope in what we were doing. Nobody lost hope in the coaches or in our system or in each other. And I think that's, you know, what allows us to, you know, turn it around and get through those, you know, those bad stretches.
You played Barcelona the last week, and as we talked, you learn how to think like Charas when you're, you know, watching the game, when you're reading the game. And I was thinking, when you play Barcelona, what do you expect from Charas from a tactical standpoint? How he's going to try to contain you on the court, since he knows you really well? And what do you expect from kind of defense or from the offense? And how do you try to, let's say, outsmart him?
I don't think there is any outsmarting Charas. You know, I don't think anybody does that. But it kind of works both ways. You know, we know exactly what they want to do. And he knows us very, very well on a personnel standpoint. So, you know, that on top of them being a very disciplined team, we're never going to get to do what our strengths are in a game like that. You know, he knows that or he has coached them all week that whenever you switch out on me on a pick and roll, give me a step, force me left, whatever. You know, he's watched me for 2 years. He's watched Yankee for, you know, five. Mila, you know, he knows every single one of us down to a T. And I think that's, you know, of a lot of importance. But then also, you know, we know his system, and I think we should have done a better job of trying to take away some things that we should have known that they would want to do, you know. So, but again, of course, they're a super well-coached team. They're very disciplined. They're playing great ball right now. They're obviously playing very loose, shooting the ball really well. So it's a really, really tough team.
Do you think it was the best team you faced this season so far?
At the moment, yeah. You know, the first time we played Cheska, they were playing really, really well at that moment. You know, of course, they've struggled with some injuries. But at that moment, they were playing really well. And, Barca, I think the second time we played them, you know, as the Charas team gets better and better, you know, they've done that this year. So they were better that second time around compared to the first.
We talked a lot about you on this podcast, but I also want you to ask you about a few Lithuanian guys in the roster. And the first which comes to my mind is Rokas Jokubaitis, because you saw him probably from the day one, and he was kind of, you know, 17 years old, you know, just being kind of, you know, practice player on Žalgiris roster. And now, you know, he's a 20-year older, which, like, in Euroleague, there's no other 20-year older who makes so much impact on the court. So what do you think, what do you remember about his growth, and what made him so exceptional that he's now, you know, helping the team so much?
First thing I think of when I think of Rokas growing up is his haircut. You know, he definitely looks better now with the curly top than the comb over. But no, I think how much more comfortable he looks now, you know, comfortable and confident. You know, obviously ever since that Olympiacos game, you know, it was very obvious that, you know, he's willing to step up, take the free throws and make them, you know. I think that is important for that confidence. But even in training camp, you know, he brought it. You know, it wasn't like, hey, this is Rokas, our young guy. You know, it's like, this is Rokas. He's, you know, he's here to play. And I think the last couple of years that I've been here, he's made a huge step each and every year. And now this is just his next step. You know, I think he's ready for these steps, and maybe some young guys aren't. Some guys would be complacent. Some young guys would think, you know, I deserve this and feel, you know, overly confident or, you know, entitled, I think would be a better word. But, you know, he still is in the gym working hard every single day, practices really hard. And you know, especially for a 20 year old, he's very professional how he takes care of himself. And it's been really, really fun to see. You know, not everybody is able to watch a young guy grow, especially, you know, probably a future NBA player, I think. But to see him be able to do this from 17 to 20 and kind of become a, you know, a man during that time has been really, really fun to see.
I asked many coaches about Marius Grigonis, but they couldn't or didn't want to respond, actually. What it takes to stop Marius Grigonis, and how do you try to solve him? Because I believe that in practices, you probably play against each other, no?
Yeah, I know how to stop him. In the practice my first year, I just fouled the hell out of him every single time he got the ball. And that's how you stop, you know, we talked about how strong I was during that first practice, and there was a lot of fouling going on. And I think my favorite part about that was, you know, he gave it right back. You know, he wanted to be just as physical, and I think that's why we're great friends today, because neither one of us backed down. And I remember, you know, Charis one day is like, "Hey man, are you trying to hurt him?" I'm not trying to hurt him, but we're just both physical dudes. And I'm not sure there is any stopping that guy, because especially when he's playing, you know, at his own pace, you know, he's deceptively quick with getting to the hole. You know, you wouldn't say his first step is explosive, but every single game he's right there in the middle of the lane shooting an uncontested floater, you know. And also, I think he's shooting, whatever, 50% from three, one of the best scorers in EuroLeague. So he's a lot of fun to play alongside of, because with all the great scoring he does, he's still a great passer. He's a smart defender. And I really enjoy playing alongside Mario.
I would say that you're, in my eyes, you are kind of underrated player in Lithuania, in EuroLeague probably, because I believe that not many people actually see and know what you're bringing, not only on the court, but also off the court. And I was thinking, in your eyes, what is the next most underrated Žalgiris player who is not maybe appreciated as he should in your team?
I would probably say Aug or Nigel. Both of them, I think, are for different reasons. I think on the offensive end, Aug, Augustine. For people that didn't catch that, but you know, Aug has really, really been special for us on the offensive. On the offensive end, I would assume he's shooting a great percentage. It seems like every single mid-range shot he shoots, he makes. I think he's shooting it well from three. He's getting to the free throw line a lot, and he's been great at playing the five and being a, you know, undersized five mismatch, or playing the four and being a bigger, you know, mismatch. So I think on the offensive side, Aug. And then on the defensive side, probably Nigel. Nigel is great at playing the three and the four, obviously very versatile. He can guard basically one through four and a lot of fives. He doesn't look super cut and built, but super, super strong. And then he obviously moves very well and has a good IQ. So I'd say those two guys are both pretty underrated.
Thanks a lot for sharing, you know, all these good words about your teammates. And I want to finish it up with the question about your future. Since you are the free agent the upcoming summer, and for example, I remember that probably three years ago, at this moment, you already had an agreement with Žalgiris Kaunas, despite playing for the Ludwigsburg team. And I was I actually also heard that you had kind of some ideas of getting back to the NBA, you know, thinking about these waters, about, you know, about your EuroLeague future. And when that moment will come, when you will need to decide, what are the top priorities for Thomas Walkup, who shapes the big decision of his career?
That's a great question. You know, a lot of people just ask, you know, where are you going or what are you doing? And I think, you know, knowing the priorities are very special. I think having a great locker room is something that's very, very important to me. And I think I learned that here. You know, a little part of me thought, you know, I will go to this Lithuanian team. You know, they all have their own families. I don't know if they like foreigners, whatever. And then I got here, and like I said earlier in the podcast, I mean, it's a family here, man. And so I think that has become, you know, very important to me. The basketball culture, how they play, you know, some teams Some teams have it, some teams don't. Just that fighting spirit. I know it sounds corny, but you know, whenever you watch a Žalgiris team, you know, we fight and we give it everything. And I can't remember a single game here. I can remember one single game here in my time where it was like we just laid down and it felt like the game was out of hand from the beginning. But I think that those two things are very important. And as far as like the city I'm in or anything like that, that's not what is important for me. It's the basketball. I spend pretty much most all of my time either in the arena or here at home. So it's not like I need a ton of places to go and things to do or people to see or anything like that. So it's not the city, it's not the weather, you know, it's the basketball for me.
And what do you think about the NBA idea? Is it the thing which you are still, you know, chasing?
To be honest, it's not really anything I've given thought of, you know, this year. You know, over the summer, my agent came to me and said, hey, there's this that, you know, possibly could happen. And it was not possible to make it happen this summer. And I honestly haven't thought about it since. So I'm really happy that my agent doesn't over communicate with me or tell me every single thing that's going on. He allows me to play. And, you know, that's the way I prefer it.
Is there... Nah, I want to ask it, but I just don't know in what kind of, you know, how to make this question and your future in Žalgiris. How close you're leaving the team this summer? What are your idea about, you know, continuing in this club and maybe what this club will need, you know, to win this fight for you in the upcoming summer?
Yeah, I mean, that kind of goes along with what I said about my agent not telling me, you know, every single thing. Of course, this club does meet my priorities and what I cherish and what I love. And so when that bridge, you know, presents itself, you know, we'll cross it. But, you know, obviously I love it here.
I will actually make you a better question when this, because, you know, everything you can get in Kaunas, in Žalgiris, you know what it offers and mm-hmm. what good things you had here in almost 3 years. What you're looking for in potentially in other teams, which they can offer for you, which you cannot maybe get in Kaunas. Is it maybe a better chance to compete for the championship? I know, maybe it's sun, but as you said, you don't need, for example, many good places.
I mean, you see how pale I am. The sun really doesn't get along with me too well. No, I mean, do I want to win EuroLeague championships? Absolutely. You know, that is the goal. That's what I want to do. But there's no reason that we can't do that here. You know, just a few years ago, Žalgiris was at the Final Four, and I mean, they ran into an absolute train of you know, Fenerbahce. That was an unbelievable team they had that year. But, you know, maybe they catch Ceska, who they beat in the semis, and whatever, catch Fenner on a bad night in the finals, and boom, there it is. So I think the way that it's set up, you know, in the NBA, every series, seven-game series, it's much harder to win a final. But here, you know, you play one series, and then the next two games are single elimination, you know. So I think that, you know, anything can happen, and it just starts with giving yourself a chance and getting into the playoffs. And like I said, from there on out, anything can happen.
Man, I think that we would like to have you here as long as possible, but sincerely, I wish you, you know, the best situation to come up for you in summer. Thanks a lot, Tom. I think it was very, absolutely. It was very interesting. It was very entertaining, and it's a pleasure for me to have you on my podcast. So thanks again, man.
Absolutely. Thanks so much. And let's do this again throughout the year. You know, I'd love to, you know, you didn't ask me too hard of questions today. So I appreciate you for not cooking me too hard.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for everybody for listening and for watching it. Once again, podcast, Lithuanian podcast or bonuses, and you can find it on the website 15min.lt and also the 15min YouTube channel. Thanks again. Thanks for watching and see you the next time.
prieš bonusą ir po bonuso.